BeastNet is brought to you by James Safety Services and in partnership with Beast OCR. Here we discuss all things OCR and fitness related, running, endurance, conditioning, rucking, and more. Welcome to BeastNet.
Hey everybody, it's Mike with BeastNet here. And on this episode, I got with me Morgan Schultz. Morgan, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hey guys, so my name is Morgan. I'm 22 years old. I just graduated from the University of Illinois back in May this year. I got my degree in kinesiology and I ran on the track and cross country teams here for 3 years. And then after I graduated, I moved back up to the Chicagoland area now where I'm working as a personal trainer and a physical therapy technician before I decided to go on to grad school next year in 2020. And then I also started my OCR journey this year too, which has been such a blast so far.
Oh yeah, it is. So what got you into OCR?
So it's kind of an interesting story. So like I said, I was a college athlete for 3 years until my junior year. And then during my junior year, I received my 7th stress fracture. So I had 6 before, and then my junior year, I got my 7th one, and that was in my sacrum. So for people who don't know, that's basically your tailbone. So I was having pain in my butt when I was running, and like it was just a deep throbbing pain. And then I saw the doctor, got an MRI, and then they were like, okay, it's another stress fracture. And then after that last one, they told me that it was unsafe for me to continue competing in the NCAA. So ultimately, I was medically dismissed. So that just means I can't compete anymore. So that just meant I couldn't compete in college track and cross country anymore. So what happened was I took six months off after that last injury. This is a pretty like vulnerable location. So I didn't exercise at all for half a year. And then when I came back from that injury, I kind of wanted to pursue another athletic outlet a little bit. And my timeline on Instagram was just like filled with CrossFit at this point. Just cause I was following people who were like doing weightlifting and a few of them happened to be some CrossFitters. So that kind of just got me interested in CrossFit. So like 6 months after my injury, I started CrossFit and it was fun. And I got extremely strong, like stronger than I've ever been before. But after I was healed to start running again, I kind of missed the adrenaline I got from like the cardiovascular activities I was doing. So I was like, what's a good way that I can combine my running with my interest in CrossFit? And then at this, around this time too, on my Instagram feed, an ad popped up for Spartan Race. And I was like, oh, this seems pretty cool. Like I've heard of it before, but I have no idea what it is. So I clicked on the link and then it brought me to my local Chicago Spartan Race. And signed up for it, and I did pretty well. I got 5th place in the elite heat, which was pretty cool.
Wow.
So I kind of reinvigorated my interest and love for running. So I got into OCR because I was injured, basically. And so after taking some time off, I just wanted to find another athletic outlet.
See, that's awesome. I mean, that's. It's always interesting to hear how people like got into the OCR, and it always seems to be like a fun story like that. So,
yeah.
So you said on your first race you ran elite, or did you just that was just your time? Yeah, okay.
So I ran one race last summer, but that was with my sister, and we did it for fun. So I wasn't doing it as like a competition. I was just doing it to do it, like just to complete it. So that wasn't competitive at all, but that was my only one I did. So then this summer, I wanted to take it a little more seriously. So my first elite one I did was this summer. Oh, no. So my first elite one I did was in Texas this summer, and I got 2nd. Yeah.
Wow.
Sorry, I'm all over the place with my dates, but I went to Texas this summer. So my first elite heat, I got 2nd at the Super in Texas. And then I was addicted.
So how many elite races? How many elite races have you done?
I've done 6 elite Spartan races, and I've gotten the podium at 5 of them.
Wow. That's impressive.
Yeah. Well, I guess, and it was 7 including the North American race I just did, but I didn't podium there. That was competitive. Yeah.
Wow. So are you thinking about making it trying to go pro, or are you just still having fun with it at this point?
I would be lying if I said I didn't want to. I would definitely love to go pro. I would say that's been like a dream of mine for like a long time. Like ever since I was a kid, I wanted to be a professional athlete, but I had no idea like 10 years ago that it could potentially be in the sport of obstacle course racing. Like when I was younger, I wanted to be a professional soccer player. And then when I quit soccer and I started track, I was like, okay, I want to be a professional track runner. And I got pretty good at track, but I mean, my injury took me out. So after my injury, I just thought like my athletic pursuits were going to be over. So I was like, okay, well, this is the end, I guess. I'm just going to do it for fun now. But then finding this sport and being like, okay, wow, I can be a professional potentially. It was just like an awesome like thing to like come across, I guess, at the end of my track career in college. So yeah, for sure. I would love to go professional in the sport.
I mean, I would think you'd have a shot if you've, you know, podiumed that many times. So, I mean, I guess it's just kind of to keep going for it. So what are your plans for the future? Do you have more races planned like already this year, or is your season, well, how many more you got going?
I'm going to be going to the World Championships in Tahoe. So that's in like a month or 4 weeks. So I'll be heading out west. I'm from Chicago, so that's like a pretty decent amount of travel for me. I'm going to be flying, but it's still pretty far. Yeah. So I'll be headed to Tahoe. And then after Tahoe, I'm going to do a local race. That's going to be the Chicago Beast and the Chicago Sprint. So that's the weekend after. I don't know how it's going to go, just because I'm going to be racing the Tahoe Beast the week prior, but I don't want to like miss out on a local race. So I'll do the Spartan Chicago Beast and Sprint. And then after that, about a month later, I'm going to do the Wrigley Field Stadium. So that'll be my first stadium race. And I'm excited for that just because I feel like that's really up my alley, just because it seems like to be a more of a combination of CrossFit in like some sprinting and running than longer distance running.
And
I
that's
think that's
going
to be up my alley too.
I've heard that about the stadium. That's the one I haven't done yet, is a stadium race. So.
Yeah, no, I'm so excited. I know. I'm like, all those bleachers. I love running uphill. Like, I love hills. So I feel like bleachers are just a different version of hills. So I'm pretty excited to do that in November.
That's awesome. So when you run in Tahoe, are you going to run with the elites? Or is that your plan, is to run elite on the rest of your races? Or
Definitely. Yeah, I'll be running elite at Tahoe, so I guess we'll see how that goes. I know it's at elevation, and I've never been at elevation before, so I'm not sure how my body's going to react to that, but I mean, it'll be a very good experience, and it'll kind of let me know what's in store for the future, like the next few years. So yeah, I'm excited.
Nice. That's awesome. Yeah, I was going to go to Tahoe, but actually just this week, I think I pretty much decided that Tahoe is not going to be in the cards for me. So I did Hawaii and to push myself to get all three in a weekend, I did some major damage to my feet. So I been over 2 weeks since I finished Hawaii, and I still can't wear shoes without like massive pain. So it's like,
do you have blisters? Is it like blisters?
I had blisters, but then I also had something happened like before the race where my feet just swelled really bad. And I don't know if it was too much water. Cause I mean, I'm a guy that, you know, I'm not to sound bad. I usually have a drink or two, you know, during a week and I literally didn't drink at all. I drank water and lots of it for that week leading up to the race. And I think part of that, my feet were like 2 to 3 sizes bigger than they should have been. Like I couldn't get my feet into my shoes. So when I did force my feet into my shoes, and then I did, you know, 14 miles in that Hawaii heat. And I took chunks out of my heels. So my feet are tore up. And it's one of those, I've got the Seattle Beast coming up and I want to do that one because I'll be finishing a trifecta with my son and that'll be trifecta number 2. But I feel if I do the Seattle Beast, like in the next week, that I'm just going to do more damage to my feet and I'm going to need that time to heal because I'm supposed to do a marathon in December. So I need to If I do Tahoe, I'm just worried that I'm going to do more damage to my feet and I won't be able to do the marathon. So it's kind of, I've been weighing it in my brain trying to figure out how not to, you know, because I did, there's like parts of my feet right now that are numb that I still can't feel after 2 weeks. So I know I did some major damage and I need to I need to relax and let them heal.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it sounds like you need some rest because you have some races coming up too. So that's smart.
And that's kind of it. So that's kind of why I decided. I mean, and I've always wanted to do Tahoe, but it was like one of those that it's just, there's a couple local races here too that I've really been promoting, especially on the podcast and like Facebook and everything that I want to go to and, you know, and do. And those are in between Seattle and Tahoe. So it's like, I need to give myself that break. And I think Tahoe, I'm going to have to skip Tahoe so I can be ready for the marathon in December. So,
For sure.
Yeah. So it sucks, but it is what it is. And I mean, it's taken me many years. I'm 42 and I've never been that person to think, okay, if I do this, I'm going to hurt myself more for this next race. So I'm finally at that age where I'm like, you know, maybe I should step back a little bit and just let myself heal so that I can do the race afterwards.
Yeah.
So.
I know, right? I wish I would have told that to myself in college. I always overdid it. That was my issue. Like, that's probably why I got hurt all the time, is like, even if I was feeling something, like something nagging, I would just continue training and want to continue racing.
Yep.
That was just my attitude. Like, I didn't want to stop. Always kept going until I actually hurt myself. So I totally understand.
And it's a hard balance, because the problem you run into is like, my mistake right now is I've gotten way too big. I've gained way too much weight. Is 3 years ago, I broke my left foot. And instead of trying to find like a better way of doing cardio that didn't involve my foot, I pretty much just stopped doing anything.
I see.
And because of that, I ended up gaining like 70 pounds. So it was like, I hurt myself at work, but I was running. I was doing a lot of running and I dropped down quite a bit. I was, you know, finally down to a good weight. And then I got hurt at work and I broke the first, second, third, fourth, and fifth metacarpals in my left foot.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
That sounds awful.
So, I mean, it was very awful. It basically, my foot got guillotined in a ladder. So.
Oh my God.
You always know it's a good injury when you're at the hospital and the nurses are calling the other nurses over to look at the x-ray. Cause they're like, you've got to see this one. And I'm like, oh.
Right. Yeah. They're like, oh, guys.
Yeah. Look what he did.
Man.
You know, and it was.
Right.
So, I mean, it was kind of one of those, and that's, I mean, I went for it and I kept trying to like do the Spartans. I did the Hawaii Spartan in a full boot that year in 2016, I was walking. I couldn't run in that boot. And it was, and that's where part of the problem is I would do the races, but in between the races, I was doing nothing. And so I ended up gaining a whole bunch of weight because of it. And now I'm at that point where I've gained a whole bunch of weight, but my foot's not right. So it's a weird balance of trying to, you know, not push yourself to get hurt, but then also saying, oh, okay, I'm hurt a little bit. I should stop. And it's like, you shouldn't stop. You just modify and try a different way to work out. And that's where my plan should have been. I should have tried, you know, doing something, but I didn't. So.
Yeah. Like try to find the happy medium with training a little bit.
Yep. All right. And now we're going to take a quick pause so we can hear from our sponsors.
Like what you hear? Make sure and subscribe and review us on your favorite podcast platform. Be sure to find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. If you're using YouTube, please click the little red subscribe icon, then click the little bell for notifications of future episodes. And if you could, give us a thumbs up.
Do you like challenges that are fun, tough, and might use tacos? Head on over to BeastChallenge.com and check out our upcoming events, including Beasts 5K Plus, a combination of race and endurance event, and the Bucket Mile. Keep an eye on the Beasts OCR Facebook group for event gatherings. For more information, head on over to BeastChallenge.com and the Beasts OCR Facebook group. You'll be glad you did.
Yeah. So, the other thing you'd mentioned was your schooling. I can never say this word right. You've got a degree in, you got to say the word because I can't. What's your degree?
Kinesiology.
There you go. That one.
Kinesiology.
How is that? Has that changed how you work out or anything like that? Because I mean, it's really, it's physical therapy, basically, correct?
Yeah. So kinesiology is basically just the study of the movement of our human bodies and like the physiology and anatomy behind them. So yeah, I would say I'm not really sure if it's changed how I work out, but it's made me more aware of what's going on in my body when I am working out.
Yeah.
Or when I'm eating, for example. I've taken a lot of classes on like the science of like food nutrition and bioenergetics and all that fun stuff that happens like with our metabolic processes when we eat or when we exercise. So I would say it's just like enlightened me, if anything, about like what happens when I go and run an all out 400, or what happens when I go and do 100 pull-ups for time, or yeah, I mean, it definitely has made me more in tune with my body too. And I just liked my degree was very fun. Like it's true. Like when you go to school and like when you're studying things you like, it makes it so much easier. So I just found that I like learning about the human body, and I took a lot of really cool classes, and like I found my interest in exercise science basically. But yeah, I would say my training hasn't changed because of my degree, but it's just made me more interested in like the science of human activity, I guess.
That's cool. So
yeah.
And you said you're going to be going for your master's coming up soon, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when I graduated, I got into chiropractic school, and I was going to go straight and get my doctorate of chiropractic, but I kind of realized I wanted to take a gap year just because I wanted to travel a little bit and work to make some money, and like during this time also mm-hmm. be fun to just like travel and do my Spartan races and stuff. So right now is just like a time for me to kind of like explore and then race and travel and I don't know, do a lot of fun things that people who work full-time in the workforce can't really do. So I kind of want to just take this year to like work part-time, travel, get to train, and then I'm going to go back to school in 2020, but I'm probably going to be getting my master's in public health, something in the public health field, just to further my knowledge in like public health and health policy. So yeah, I mean, I knew I wanted to have a career in the health field, and like I did a lot of research here on my campus at the University of Illinois, and I just figured out I was interested in research and like what goes on in like the global like spectrum of humanity in like regards to the health field. So I just kind of thought that getting my master's is a good idea. So that'll be happening in 2020, but for now I'm just taking a gap year and then having fun and traveling a ton and doing these Spartan races. So it's been a blast. I've seen so many new places that I've never been to. So it's awesome.
That's awesome. That is awesome. I mean, that is amazing. So
yeah.
Once you graduate, well, what kind of career would that put you in?
So what I'm looking for in regards to career is probably becoming an epidemiologist. So what that means, like just the study of public health trends and like disease mm-hmm. outbreaks. So you kind of like, so for example, you could work for like the CDC, like the Centers for Disease Control, and like kind of find areas in the world or in the country that have like specific diseases that outbreak in an area, and then try to find like methods or ways to try and stop that outbreak or figure out why it occurred. It's like a lot of investigative work. So yeah, so probably becoming an epidemiologist, but there's a lot of different types of careers in public health. So that's kind of why I thought getting a master's degree in public health would be smart, just in case I change my mind, because I change my mind all the time. So I kind of just figured having a pretty broad master's degree would work pretty well for me, just in case I decide like, oh, no, I actually don't want to be an epidemiologist. I want to be like a bio, like statistics person, working math. Like, yeah. I don't know. There's a lot of different avenues you can do. So, and I'm just going to go broad and then see what happens.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's a good plan. That's been one of the things I've always talked about with people is I think it's really interesting that we like have our kids really decide at such a young age what they want to do for the rest of their lives. Uh-huh. And it's one of those things, you know, I've really thought about this because like for me, when I came out of high school, I went for a business degree because I wasn't quite sure what I wanted. I thought veterinarian, but I can't deal with dead animals. It's just weird. I don't deal with dead animals well. So, I mean, fixing animals sounded like a great idea, but second they said they might be dead ones, I'm like, I'm out. But, you know, and then it was, and then I went for business. And then, I got like, you know, I've almost finished my bachelor's, but I ran out of money. But it was one of those things is now I'm like, I don't know what I would do with a business degree. You know, I do. I'm in construction safety. I'm in occupational safety and health. So it's like, that's the degree I wish I had, you know. Right. So it's kind of one of those, you know, at 40, I finally decided at 40 years old what I wanted to do with my life. So it's like to force a kid at 18 or 20 to decide. It's like, I know so many people that have degrees that have nothing to do with what they do for a living.
I know. I mean, I even changed my major, I think, 5 times in college. Like, 5 times until I decided I wanted to major in kinesiology. And, like, I just don't get how people know, like, okay, I'm going to do this. Like, when they're in high school, like, okay, I want to be a doctor. And they go through with it. And, like, I just don't get how people can decide that earlier if they even really know. Or they're just, like, forced to pick something because their college makes them choose their major when they're so young. But, I mean, I've experienced a lot of different majors. Like, I was an English major. I was a broadcast journalism major. I was an advertising major. Like, I did everything before I settled on something. And I still don't know if, like, this is 100% what I want to do. But, I mean, you got to settle on something eventually. So just get some experience doing different things and, like, seeing what I like best, I guess.
Oh, yeah. And that's just that's the hard part with college. I mean, I have one friend that's got a teaching degree and works in construction. Another friend that has a degree in Native American art.
She's
and she's a makeup artist in the movies. So it's like,
so that's a little different.
Yeah. So it just, it's always interesting to find out. It's like, wait, what? So.
Yeah, I know. Right.
No. Degrees are weird. But a lot of times, too, it's just having the degree. You know, I've had times when looking for a job and they're like, do you have a bachelor's degree in anything? No. It's like, well, that would be helpful. Yeah. I'm like, well, wouldn't it be more helpful if I had a bachelor's degree in what I'm doing?
Right.
Right on.
Does your business need first aid, AED, OSHA, flagging, or other safety training? James Safety Services is your one-stop shop. Find them on Facebook today at James Safety Services WA and ask for a quote on hosting your training needs.
With the Spartan races, I guess we kind of went off topic there for a bit. So do you think do you think with that degree it's going to help you, you know, in the Spartan races and stuff like that, knowing how your body moves, how it works, and being able to do stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, I would say yes and no. So, like, yes, in a sense, like, I'm very aware of where my body is in space and time. So, like when I'm running, like, I'm always conscious of, like, what I'm going to be doing next. And I'm very aware of, like, fueling. Like, I feel like I know a lot about nutrition and, like, what I need on these longer races. And, yeah, I would say yes in that aspect, but no, because I also overthink things a lot. So, like, part of me is like, okay, like, I have this strategy because I know how my body's going to be feeling at mile, like, 6 or mile 8 of this 13-mile race, but things don't always go as planned. So I do overanalyze things a lot, but I would say overall, like, yes, just because it's a good asset to have. Like, I know a lot about my own physiology and, like, how I feel, like, after I eat a certain thing. I've perfected, like, what works best for me. But I do also, like, overthink and, like, overanalyze constantly. But overall, I would say, like, my degree has helped. But, like, I would say more times than not, my degree has been good for me in this sport.
That's good. That's good. And I know the thing what you mean about knowing what you eat, because I've learned that on races. Never eat something you've never eaten before the night before a race. So.
Yeah. That's some good advice. That's it true, is. Though. Yeah.
It is. And it's one of those things, too, is that I know I see people a lot post on, like, Facebook and stuff like that, and a lot of the Spartan groups. They're like, what should I eat during the race? And it's like, what do you eat when you work out? What do you eat when you work out? And that's kind of like the big thing. It's like, do the same thing you do in your normal workouts. Because if you try adding something like, hey, I've never had sport beans, but I'm going to take them with me on the race. It's like, you never know how your body's going to react to whatever's in those, you know.
I think part of me thinks that, like, these people are just looking for an answer that's going to be like, oh, this is going to make me feel really good and, like, perform really well. Like, I don't know. I just feel like people are always trying to find a thing. Does it work for them? Well, if it works for them, then I'm going to feel great. But I mean, when in reality, it's just if everyone's physiology is different. So it's like, what works for you?
No,
like, what do you usually get on a daily basis is what will work for you during a race.
Oh, yeah. Because I've heard so many times where people are like, oh, this is what I use in a race, and it's amazing. And I'm like, you know, I tried that once, and it did not go so well. You know, so for
exactly.
That's why you got to really kind of try in your races. And that's kind of what I did. Because I did, before I hurt my foot, I did a lot of running. You know, I was running marathons and half marathons and stuff all the time. And that's what I would do during my training days. If I got a new, like, my favorite thing is sport beans. I love sport beans. But if I got something new, I would always, like, during my training, I would try it. You know, and see how my body reacted. Because the worst thing, the last thing you want is to be in the middle of a marathon or a half marathon or a Spartan race or whatever and eat something that your stomach doesn't agree with.
Oh, for sure.
Because it doesn't
training
get
is
well.
A place where you can make mistakes.
Yeah. It's the same with, like, shoes and everything like that. I've seen on so many times with people on, like, Facebook groups that are like, hey, I'm doing, you know, a beast next weekend. What shoes should I get? You probably should have got those about 2 months ago and... broke them in already.
Right.
You're in trouble.
Yeah. Like, your feet are gonna hate you after if you just break out a pair of new shoes for a race. Like, that's not the move. But you live and you learn, I guess.
Yeah, it is live and learn. So it's kind of one of those. Which is always funny. I just love. I mean, are you part of those groups on Facebook? Any of those that are the I'm on West Coast Spartans because of course I'm on the West Coast, but.
Yeah, I'm part of the Midwest Spartan group. I think it's Midwest Spartan.
Yeah.
And, like, I'll occasionally look at it. Some of the things are funny, I think. Just the things about the nutrition. I just think those are funny, but... Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, entertaining.
Because it's like we just said. It depends on the person. It's one of those, you know... I mean, I'll be honest, and it sounds horrible, but I had my like, I don't know if it's my ritual every night before a race, and it sounds completely wrong, and everyone always told me I was completely wrong, but it worked for me, and it was, I would go out for a steak dinner, steak and potatoes, and a whiskey and Coke the night before a race, every time, and I was, it worked. You know, and the one time I didn't do that, I did not feel right when I went to go do a race, and it's like, everyone's like, you're supposed to carb load. I'm like, carb load doesn't work for me. It just makes my stomach hurt.
And, like, imagine if you were to put that in the group and be like, oh, what should I eat the night before? And you go, well, I'll have a whiskey and Coke, have some steak. And people would be like, oh, you're crazy. Be like, well, it's whatever works for you. Like, this works for me, and it might not work for you, but,
And see, for me, it's like the carbs. I don't eat a lot of carbs in my life. I mean, I'm just not a carb-type person. So for me to carb load the night before, I feel sick. The next day.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's kind of like, you know, my body's not used to that. So it's not, you know, it's never the same answer for everybody. So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do the night before a race? How do you prepare for a race?
So I kind of do the same. So you know what Normatec boots are? Like those recovery boots?
No.
Okay, so basically what they are is, like, they're these blood pressure cuffs that you put on your legs. So they're, like, leg sleeves.
Those sound amazing.
And you just put your legs in them. Yeah, they're incredible. So what I'll do is I'll do, like, half an hour. I'll put my legs in those, like, recovery boots, and I'll let them go. So, like, for 30 minutes, what they do is they just squeeze your legs super tight, and it helps, like, promote blood flow. So, if you know, sometimes your legs feel, like, crap after you do a run, or like there's a lot of lactic acid in them. Like they help like relieve like or help increase the blood flow in your legs and like remove some of the lactic from workouts and runs. So I do that as a ritual every. Well, I try to do it most nights, like most days of the week, especially after hard workouts, but definitely before a race, I'll do it for at least 30 minutes. And then I always eat the same meal the night before. I'll have chicken, rice, and broccoli. And it sounds boring, but like I like it. It works for me. I'm a huge vegetable person. Like if someone were to ask me, like, what's your favorite food? I would say vegetables, probably, like any vegetable. So I eat a ton of veggies every day. I'll eat like 3 servings of broccoli with my dinner, then a big serving of rice, and then some nice grilled chicken. So that's my go-to meal before a race. And then with those recovery boots, like, I better be having a good race the next day.
I said those recovery boots sound like a good idea. I think I've had something similar when I had to go in for a surgery, mm-hmm. and they like put them on my legs to keep like the circulation while I was laying in bed. But,
yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are probably them, or similar.
That sounds amazing. I might have to look into those.
So. Oh, yeah. I got that. I mean, so if you get the Normatec brand, like, you can get branded ones, and they're like $1,200, which is just insane. But I got ones that are off-brand, and they were like $180, and they're the same thing. They're just a different brand. So I saved like $1,000 by getting the off-brand Normatec on Amazon.
I said 180 sounds a lot better than the 1200. So.
yeah, and I was about to drop $1,200 because it's that good, but I saw them for way cheaper, and it's the same deal. So, I mean, I highly recommend them, the cheap ones for sure.
I'm definitely gonna have to look into those. That sounds like an amazing thing. I've been trying to walk and run and jog more. I've got an elliptical, uh-huh. and I've been wearing a weight vest and trying to do more physically, but. Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah.
So do they work on just your legs, or does it go down to your feet?
Yeah, it goes down to your feet.
So that's what I've been trying to figure out.
Wrap around your feet. Mm-hmm. Yep, it'll wrap around your feet and then go all the way up to, like, your mid-thigh, I would say. And then you can get some that extend all the way up to your hips, and then you can get some for your arms, too. But I only got the ones that go up to your thigh. But they have optional add-ons.
See, I think I would like them for the foot. That's been my biggest issue, is that, mm-hmm. that foot injury, trying to get that to go away.
Yep.
I'm going to have to look into those.
Yeah, I think it'll be useful. Yeah, it'll be useful for you, I think.
Yeah. Nice. So,
mm-hmm.
so you're doing the Beast in Tahoe, correct?
Correct. Yep. That'll be my second Beast ever. So my first Beast was at North American Champs, and then this will be my second one.
Right on. And you're doing so you'll be racing, what, that Sunday? Because you're racing with the elites, right?
Correct. Yeah, it's going to be Sunday. Uh-huh.
It's going to be awesome. I'm going to have to watch that one and see how you do. So
yeah,
I'll be watching. I want to see how you do with that.
I'm excited. Yeah, thank you.
That's awesome.
It'll be a blast then. Yeah, it'll be fun to be in California, too.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, I mean, really listening to, you know, talk to you and everything else, kind of looking at stuff. I mean, I feel like you're going to be that person we're going to be hearing about soon, you know, taking the OCR world by storm.
Yeah, I hope so. Thank you.
So have you done any?
Yeah, I hope so.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I hope so, too. So have you done any other races besides Spartan? I mean, is Spartan kind of the one that you've... I've heard about Savage. We don't have them on the West Coast. It drives me nuts, but because I keep hearing about how amazing they are. And I'm like,
so fun.
Oh, see?
I did one with my friend this summer just for fun. So we did it in the open heat, just like in an afternoon, because it was like 20 minutes. It was literally 25 minutes from where I live, like back in Chicago. So we were like, well, let's just go and do it. And it was so fun. Like, the whole venue was amazing. And I like the fact that it was obstacle completion. Like, it just makes sense to me. Like, if you're doing an obstacle course race, to, like, have to get through the obstacle. So you just kept going on until you get it through. Yeah, like, it just
makes
sense.
I have that same feeling.
Oh, I mean, yeah. Like, so you would have bands. And, like, if you didn't get it, you would, like, give up your band if you're in the elite heat, I think. But I mean, for the open heat, you can go through it as many times as you want, but the obstacles were amazing. Like, they're very challenging. And I saw a bunch of things I've never seen in a Spartan race, because even though I've only done Spartan really for this summer, like, I'm getting used to the obstacles. So, like, none of them are challenging me as much as the ones that Savage Race were, like, this summer. So it was a good break from, like, the the same obstacles over and over again at the Spartan Race. But I highly recommend it. If you come out, like, I don't know if it's, like, a Midwest thing, but if you come out and travel to a Savage somewhere, if you're in the area for a Savage Race, you should totally do it.
I definitely want to. I mean, that's one I've heard of, that one and Bone Frog are the other two that are like East Coast, Midwest ones that haven't made it out to the West Coast yet that I've been watching, waiting for them to come out here. Cause I want to try them. Cause I mean, I'm a Spartan guy. I've been doing Spartan since 2015 and I love Spartan, but I've done some of the others. I've done Warrior, which obviously is no longer. They just went under. There's a couple of Rugged Maniac, some of the other ones. I've done some of the other ones that are fun, and I like having the different options, of races.
Yeah, I totally agree.
And so it's kind of, so we've been looking at the, Savage Race. We've been wanting to get them out here. There's another one out of Alberta, Canada that I keep hearing about. X-Warrior is supposed to be an amazing one. Out of Alberta, up in Canada, so I want to get up there. So that's kind of what I've been looking at for, like, next year, is, I mean, still doing my Spartan races, but looking at also some of those, traveling to some of those other ones, I know there's one in Savage in Florida and stuff like that, so I think I can convince my wife to go to Florida. Some of the other places, I don't know. I mean, Chicago, and I don't know if I can convince her to go to Chicago, but I convince her to go to Florida, so...
Yeah. I mean, Chicago's cool. it's an awesome city, but yeah, I mean, Florida's warm, so I understand.
I mean, I have friends in Chicago. I have friends in Chicago, so I'd have places to stay. I have a crazy friend named Frankie in Chicago. He's kind of weird, but yeah.
Weird's cool.
Yeah. So you've done the Savage Race, and then I know you said that, when you were racing in NCAA, did you just race NCAA, or did you do marathons and stuff like that? It was just kind of the NCAA.
Yeah, it was. So when I was in college, it was just the NCAA, because if we did races outside of it, we would get, punished. Or, we weren't really allowed to. So when you're in the NCAA, or at least at our university and probably in the Big Ten, you couldn't compete outside of it. I don't know. There's a lot of weird rules with the NCAA. So yeah, when I was in college, I only competed for U of I. I couldn't do anything else.
Wow. And what races did you run? I mean, in track and field.
So, in high school, I did the 300 meter hurdles and the 800. And then I was also a sprinter. So my best event probably was the 300 hurdles or the 800. Mm-hmm. I won state in the 800 in high school, and then I was an All-American. I was an All-American in the heptathlon, actually. So my best event was probably the heptathlon, but I never pursued that in college just because I didn't really like it. So I was good at it, but I didn't really want to continue doing it. So in college, they kind of moved me up, so... I was just an 800 meter runner, and then I did cross country, and then in indoor season I would run the 600 meter, which was probably my favorite event in college because it was just an all out sprint for as long as you could hold on, basically. And I like that type of pain.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah. You're definitely an OCR athlete when it's
for sure.
I like that. I like that kind of pain. Yeah, there's something wrong with you. You're definitely an OCR athlete. But
I know, right? It's a weird thing to say, but I mean, it's true. It proves you're working hard. Like, when you feel that much pain and burning, you're like, okay, I'm doing this right.
Yeah, it's very true.
Uh-huh.
Oh. So, yeah, that's crazy. I was one of those. Yeah. I never did. Past junior high, I never did any sports. I blew my knee in junior high, and that kind of ended. Yeah, that ended my sports in junior high. I was a baseball player, and I played left field. and running for a ball in the left field. I put my foot in it. I put my foot in a gopher hole while I was running for a ball and completely hyperextended my left knee. So it was pretty much one of those. Yeah, it was my eighth grade year in junior high. So my freshman year in high school, I completely missed sports because I still wasn't. I was okay to walk with like a cane, basically, but I couldn't run.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't until my sophomore year where they're like, okay, you can run again. And I'm like, yeah, I'm done. You know, it was like, I hit that point where it was so long without doing sports that I found other things, you know?
Yeah. Okay. But,
I found other things to keep my time. And then, you know, I played racquetball and tennis for until my 20s. And then I blew my right knee in my 20s. And that was like the end of all that.
Oh,
so,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm an injury prone. It's bad.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can relate to the injuries. I had 7 stress fractures.
Yeah.
So I totally feel your pain.
And how do you deal with that? I mean, it's not to sound bad, but 7 stress fractures, were they all in different areas?
Yeah, they were all in different areas, too. So so I had 1 in my metatarsal. I've had 3 in my shin, but they were all in different parts of my shin. So, like, I had 1 in my left tibia, and then 1 in my left fibula, and then 1 in my right tibia. And then I had 1 in my femur. So that one was the worst, like, pain-wise. Like, that was in high school, and I kept running on it until it almost cracked. Like, I could have ended my, like, entire athletic career if I would have let my femur crack. Because that would mean surgery, and I would have had to get a metal rod in my leg. So that one was painful. Ooh. And then I had 1... My last one I ever got was in my sacrum, and that one took me out the longest. So that was like a six month of absolutely nothing. So, and that was like right at the end of my career. So how I dealt with them is like, I just did a lot of cross training. So for all of them, I was in college, and I would actually get programs from my athletic trainer and my coach. So I would stay very fit. Mm-hmm. Like when I was cross training, I would be in the pool for like 2 hours. Or I'd be on the bike for 2 hours, or I'd be ellipticaling for 1.5 hours. And then I would do my strength training, and then I would go see my athletic trainer, and then I would go get a massage, and then I would go to the doctor. Like, I stayed on top of my training when I was hurt, like probably even more than when I wasn't hurt. But it kind of like built up my resilience and perseverance, like, well, I was injured. Just because coming back from those injuries, like, I was not running more than I was running, like, in my college career. Like, I was always hurt. So I just kind of learned how to deal with, like, disappointment, I guess, in regards to my athletics. Like, I don't know, I just became a very resilient person after being hurt all the time. Like, I would do all my cross training, and I would stay as positive as I could with my teammates, but it was just kind of my life is like, that's just how it was like in college. So I got through it. I got through all of them, but it was very tough. I'm not going to say it was easy to cross train for 2 hours a day for 3 months in a pool, but I mean, I had a pretty good support system here, like with my coach and my teammates. So I mean, it made it worthwhile. After my last one though, I thought I was going to be done with athletics like forever. Just because it was such a big injury and it was pretty rare. Yeah. Like the doctors didn't know, they had no idea why I had a stress fracture in my sacrum. Cause it doesn't happen. Like that's just not a place where people get stress fractures. So, I mean, that's why they ultimately dismissed me is because they couldn't figure out what was going on. Like why I was getting these stress fractures. So I kind of just felt thrown to the wall and I was like, well, I mean, I'm not going to be able to run again, I guess ever. But I kind of like found a healthy way to do it. So now I just do a lot of strength training, and I run definitely still, but it's not every day for sure. And when I'm running, I just am very cognizant of what I'm doing. So I run for a purpose. I'm not just running to like log miles. Like I'm running to improve my aerobic endurance. Like I go on very specific runs. Like I'll do a tempo run and then I'll do a long run, but everything in between, I just cross train. Like I use the assault bike. I use the rower a ton. So, I mean, I have different methods now to be more of a smart athlete, I would say.
That's good. I mean, yeah, I was kind of wondering that. It seemed to, I mean, not to sound bad, it seemed odd to get that many that many stress fractures. That it was kind of, you know.
Yeah, it's very odd. Yeah, it's not normal.
It makes you wonder if there's an underlying issue, but yeah. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm glad to see that, you know, you've decided to start doing the OCR racing and stuff like that. So, sounds like you're going to be, like I said, I expect to hear your name more and more. So, I can't
wait to see that. I appreciate it. Yeah,
Do you plan on doing any other races besides Spartan, trying any of the others? You know, like I said, you did do Savage Race. I mean, like I mentioned, there's Bone Frog, I think, out on the East Coast, and Tough Mudder, of course, which is, I don't know, Tough Mudder is weird, but it's more of a team sport than anything. But from what I understand, I've never done a Tough Mudder. So.
So, yeah, I would say Tough Mudder is a little weird, but I did do two Tougher Mudders this year, so, like, the competitive version, like, in air quotes. It wasn't really competitive, but, I mean, I won those two, which was fun. But, I mean, I'm always down to try anything new. Like, if there's a local race or if there's one that I haven't heard of and it's, like, a decent driving distance away, then I'll totally go and try. But I would say right now, just Spartan races are, like, the tier of obstacle course racing, like, the top tier. So I try my best to, like, get out to as many of those as possible. And, like, along with that, like, there's the Spartan Pro Team, and that's something I'd really like to try to get on. So I feel like exposing myself to as many Spartan races as possible is probably my best option. So probably sticking with Spartan, but trying new things.
If you keep hitting those podiums, I'm pretty sure they're going to take notice of you pretty soon if they haven't already. So
I hope so.
And if you got 5 podiums already, so yeah, which is impressive. So
yep, thank you. Thanks.
That's amazing. So we're getting kind of towards the end of time here. Is there anything you want to tell the listeners, you know, in closing?
I would just say, like, if people are on the fence about trying OCR or, like, not sure if they should try it, I would just say dip your toe in the water. Like, find a local race. It doesn't have to be a Spartan race. Find any sort of obstacle course race. It doesn't even have to be an obstacle course race. It could just be, like, a run. Or, like, just find something that, like, makes you excited to go out and train. And, like, just try something new. Like, I found once I dipped my toe in the water in, like, Spartan races, like, I was just addicted. Like, I didn't want to turn back around and, like, try anything else. So I would just say find the thing that lights your fire and do everything you can to achieve your goals. And, like, along those lines, I would just say set small and manageable goals and get after it. I mean, this sport is so fun. I feel like it's a growing thing and it's becoming more popular. So it's cool to get in it right now when I feel like it's in its infancy. So I would say to people who are on the fence, just try it. And I feel like you won't be disappointed.
No, I agree. Just get out and do it. So
yeah,
right on. Sure.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's been a blast talking to you. And like I said, I expect to hear your name more often. So.
Uh-huh. Oh, thanks.
Perfect.
Yeah, well, it's been a blast. Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Oh, anytime. All right. Thank you, Morgan.
Yeah, of course. All right. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the BeastNet podcast. If you haven't done it yet, find us on Facebook. Like and share the podcast. Give us a review on iTunes or Spotify. All these things will help to expand the show in the future. This show is brought to you by James Safety Services in partnership with Beast OCR. Don't forget to subscribe and let us know what you think and what you like to hear. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or at beastocr.com.